Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Slight technical difficulties then, but you've tuned in for the Blues Takeover, and that's exactly what it is, the Birmingham Fan Show, as it is every Thursday, 8:30 to 9. They are in for a treat, in for a ride. So much to talk about because there's been two games since we spoke. Obviously, the 1-1 with Cardiff and the 1-1 with Middlesbrough. And I think it's fair to say a lot of drama on the sidelines at the end of that game. We're going to be talking all about it. And the man to talk about it with, it is, of course, James Jenkinson from Birmingham Fan TV. James, always good to get you on and chat with you. I look forward to it every Thursday. I hope you're well. Let's start with a Cardiff game, though. 1-1, chances for both sides in what was a very even game.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think it was two evenly matched sides. I think that Cardiff have been on a very gradual upward curve, haven't they? I think it's fair to say, since the arrival of Neil Harris. And we took on a team that were a really, really big, physical, strong championship team. And I think for the first 30 minutes, we were relatively dominant. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we were in control. We were comfortable. And it's a case of what we spoke of last week and I think for the last 3 weeks. We can't finish our chances at the minute. We're lacking, severely lacking, you know, that predatory striker like we had in Che Adams last season, and not replacing him has cost us, not just in this game, but dearly all season, I think. And obviously, had we have had that striker, we'd have been 3-0 up at half time for sure.
Absolutely. And we spoke about it last week, didn't we? The relief, getting that Luton win, six games without a win, and then taking the lead on the weekend. I thought it just shows how football goes, doesn't it? It just shows you how sport goes. You get one win, you're looking like you're going to get second. Cardiff found a way back into it, obviously. Tomlin scored. He felt like he should have had a penalty. Both teams had their chances, and both teams probably feel like maybe they was worth the 3 points, but it was the spoil shed.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, tale of two halves, wasn't it? We dominant first half, really should have put the game to bed, and then Cardiff come out second half and really put us up, you know, up against it, and we were really on the ropes towards the end, so we were looking to hang on at times. So yeah, like I say, I think the points shared was fair, the spoils were fair, and I think it was a really good game to watch from a neutral perspective, but wasn't too comfortable for myself in the end. Definitely
no,
not.
It weren't. And obviously, last week I asked you about it, and maybe it was a precursor, James, because obviously since then it has been everything Bellingham related. Obviously, linked with Man United, with hearing a heavy bid, you know, incoming, could be going this window. He's only 16 and a half. A lot of bid talk for a kid so young, but the way he plays, the composure, you know, almost a veteran poise to his game. Scored on the weekend, and the class and the talent. I mean, I know Birmingham want him to go under the radar, but it is clearly there for all to see.
Yeah, you're not going to keep that kid under the radar. Absolutely not, no. You know, we say it every week, and, you know, I think the bid is just going to keep rising. I don't think 30 million, while it's going to obviously turn some heads, it's not, for me, it's not where it's at the minute. That's not his valuation. And they're going to, for me, need to stump up at least another 10 million on top of that. For the bid to start, you know, entering negotiations, because that kid obviously at 16, four goals this season, and really is running our midfield. You know, obviously Man U just one of the numerous teams that are now putting in a bid. So yeah, I think that I think Jermaine Pennant said he would actually probably be best to stay at the club till the end of the season, he was saying earlier. So that'd be great if he obviously took that advice and he stayed, and then obviously we let him go at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I had a conversation with David Proton earlier on Love Sport Drive that you should check out Freed 7. And David, he knows the, you know, the championship inside out, and he's across it all. And we had a really good debate about it, and it's such a hard one. I actually think that Bellingham not just stay to the end of the season, but, you know, maybe another season beyond that, because he is still so young, and there's so much, regardless who you're playing for, that you can learn from the championship. You know, this is his boyhood club, and he can still grow in that team. There's nothing wrong with playing championship football. You know, maybe get that move, but maybe stay at Birmingham. And it's a tricky one when the money comes in and the situation regarding Birmingham. But he is still so young. He doesn't need to move even at the end of the season, does he? And I know actually Birmingham are trying to tie him down to a longer contract.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, if they can, I think the ideal situation for both the club and for Bellingham would be to get him through to the end of the season, get his pro contract signed when he turns 17. And then the club will cash in on him from there. And I think that the idea is that the club want to loan him back. Whether if it's at the end of the season, for example, they'll try and at least do a one-year deal, maybe even a two-year loan back. You know, he's going to develop nowhere better than at Birmingham because the fans love him. He'll be nurtured. The club will nurture him. And even if he does 2 years back on loan at the end of the season, he'll still be 18 by the time he goes back to Man United, or 18 or 19. And, you know, he's still a baby even at that sort of stage. So, you know, if we can get the right money for him at the end of the season and get him back on a long-term loan deal, then I think it's a win-win for United, Bellingham and the club.
Yeah, James, obviously the cynic in me and you know, the cynical Birmingham fans, and I join him, and you did just kind of say that to saying, yeah, look, let's time Dan 17, let's get him on a program contract and then we can sell him for bigger money and whatever. But why not time Dan and like just have his actual football there, not even loan back for the next 1 or 2 years, or am I just living on Planet Cuckoo Land?
Not entirely, no. But I think it's a difficult one you know, to not have his head turned. If we'd love him to stay and not, you know, if the move doesn't materialise. But, you know, I think that it's going to be difficult. And I think that a talent such as his, it's going to be hard not to cash in eventually with the money that the club can reinvest. You know, if they manage to bring in 40 million plus a loan back deal, plus, you know, the ridiculous add-ons that are being talked about, you know, the club can't, you know, they just can't turn that down. It gets to a certain point where a club like ours have to cash in on that. So yeah, I think I'd love that to happen, but yeah, it's going to be a tricky one.
Well, obviously, James, it is such a big talking point tonight, as we knew it would be on the Birmingham Fan Show. We just had a WhatsApp in this time from Shaw saying, got to be honest, for me, if he goes to United, his career will go downhill, the state they're in, and, you know, he may get forgotten and left behind. And there is that worry, isn't it? Because he's a big fish in a smaller pond at the minute.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a big fish. I mean, obviously, you know, the Championship's one of those where a lot of young talent is nurtured. We saw that with Ryan Sessegnon a few years ago. And it's difficult. Like I say, yeah, obviously if he goes to United, there is that worry that he falls into that system that Chelsea have got where they loan a lot of players out and not all of them make it. And they almost get forgotten about and they don't get, you know, they're not taken care of as well as they could be. But I think, like I say, the best thing for him is, you know, if he does fabricate his move, if his move does come about, whenever it may be, however much may be, the most important thing is that he goes to the right club, you know, whether it be a loan or whether it be a permanent whatnot. But to come back is essential, because if he's sitting in the 23s at Man U, he's going to be rotting away and it's no good for him.
Yeah,
or his development.
Yeah, well, that's why I definitely think he should stay around, you know, that Championship football. And the other thing I wanted to get onto, the thing that I asked David Pratt, and he said, look, Birmingham, the situation they're in, financial fair play, if they get that 30 million offer, that 40 million one you said, we know the fans don't want to see it, the fans don't want to lose him, but the club, it could really help the club. And the club are kind of between a rock and a hard place. They don't want to lose a prospect, the talent, but the money, what they can do in a club, and it's really difficult for the fans. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, I like to look at it from a sensible head perspective. I think I try to look at it from almost an outside perspective. And yeah, the money that we could use, that, you know, we could pay off. Obviously, we're not in any dire financial straits or anything like that, but we could balance the books and make it look a lot healthier. And the club can then also use a large chunk of that to reinvest in the playing squad. You know, you can, even if you invest half of a 40 million, you take 20 million, you can buy £4 million players. And we know in this league that is a ridiculous amount of money to spend on each amount of player, and then 20 million to balance the books. And it's hard not to look at it from that perspective. You know, Jude is a once in a lifetime sort of player. The last sort of player he's been compared to is Trevor Francis, and we know how good he turned out to be. So it's hard not to let him go. But at the same time, you know, it's got to happen, I think, from a sensible perspective.
Yeah, obviously, James, we'll look at that Middlesbrough game and the one with Coventry in the second half. But just quickly, it is four games unbeaten now, considering we had that six-game losing streak. What for you, since you know the busy festive period's over, we're in the new year, why has the football just turned around and it's a little bit better now? You know, we're seeing some good form from Birmingham at the minute.
Yeah, we are. The performances are still not quite where they should be, as to speak, but we've certainly looked a lot better, a lot more structured, and I think that's simply down to the two centre halves. They've both returned from injury. Obviously, Jake Clark-Salter, on loan from Chelsea, has come back, and I think the last eight games that he's played in, obviously before his injury and after, we actually haven't lost. So he's a massive part for us, and also Mark Roberts as well has come back from his injury, and he's a crucial cog in this Birmingham City team. So obviously to lose your two best centre halves was always going to be a challenge over the festive period. But getting them two back, getting Crowley back fit as well, has proved to be sort of a turning point. And if we can get everybody fit, keep everybody fit, you know, for the rest of the season, we can bring one or two bodies in the back end of this window now, then, you know, we could be in for a decent, you know, steady mid-table finish.
Yeah, James, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of Crowley. Obviously, former Arsenal prospect, went over to Holland, lost his way, kind of refinding that now that he's back with Birmingham in the Championship. He's a player that I actually want to talk about. Me and you, let's have a good chat about him next week again on the Birmingham Fan Show. But James, always a pleasure to you. Our time goes too quick. But don't worry, fans, there is still time to have your say tonight and get in touch. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 028 70 20 558. We're going to be looking at that handbag drama with Middlesbrough from this week and then talking about the weird and wonderful fixture that is Coventry in the Cup at St Andrews.
Love sports.
Oh yes, that can only mean one thing. It is the Birmingham Fan Show. You've joined us as you do every week. This is the fans' takeover, your takeover, getting to talk about your Blues, and there is still time to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Delighted to be joined now by Chris, also from Birmingham Fan TV. Chris, really good to speak to you once more on the Birmingham Fan Show. Me and James were just talking about the Cardiff game, even game 1-1, but me and you get to talk about the Middlesbrough game, and that one, well, we thought it was an even game on the weekend. It was more of an even game this one, and it's fair to say there was a fair share of drama as well, wasn't there, Chris?
Yeah, good evening, Charlie, first of all. Good evening, listeners. Yes, a lot of drama.
Just putting it politely.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Especially towards the end of the game, obviously. But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, if we'd have been offered the point before the game, I think we'd have taken it.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I was alluding to the drama at the end, but the whole game really was drama. You know, obviously, Borough missing the penalty at the start, but then it was Birmingham who took the lead, could have had a second, and it was crazy from there on in, really. And even in that goal, what a lovely delivery and header that was, just to get the boys up and running.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's becoming a bit of a recurring theme at the moment when Blues seem to score. It's get the ball out wide to Jeremy Bella, who, since he's come in, has grown and grown in stature. His importance to the team has got bigger and bigger. And obviously, when you can put in good crosses as he's doing, and you've got someone like Jukovic at the back post, which, you know, is becoming a bit of a meme in itself, Jukovic at the back post, yeah. And it just leads naturally to goals. But he's such a threat, you know, and it just seems, you know, sometimes people try and overcomplicate football, but if you've got Jukovic on the pitch, then stick it to the back post, because there's every chance that you'll be able to score from it.
Well, this is it, and I know sometimes he can go through little spells and not score, and then he goes through spells when he looks like an absolute machine. And I was watching it, and I was trying to word it, but you've just summed it up perfectly there. You know, football doesn't have to be rocket science. We don't always have to see tiki-taka and overlapping centre-backs or Liverpool playing this brand of football. You know, sometimes, let's get it up there. We've got a big target, man. You know, defenders struggle with him in the box, and that header, I mean, listen, that was pinpoint, that was world class, and sometimes just get the job done, and that's the way it was looking at the minute, and maybe that's what Birmingham have reverted to at the minute, because like I said, since the turn of the year, barring New Year's Day and the first game, it's been solid form, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, and I think there's an element that, you know, we have gone back to basics a little bit. You know, I think James mentioned, rightly mentioned, the fact that the two central halves, Roberts and Clark Salter, had come back to fitness. But I think away from home as well, there's definitely been an element of going back to the experienced pros, David Davis, Gary Gardner, coming back into the side and making us a lot more solid away from home. But like you say, you just mentioned Liverpool there. We mentioned it on the podcast this week, me and James. How many goals have Liverpool scored from crosses coming in from Alexander Arnold and Robertson? That they play unbelievable football, Liverpool do, but a lot of their goals come from they play the amazing football up to the final third, and then they get a cross in because they've got two unbelievable deliveries from set pieces. And when they get into the final third from out wide, and when similarly to Blues, when you've got someone like Jukovic in the penalty area, and you've got someone now like Bella who can put good crosses into the box, utilise it, make the most of it.
Yeah, I think we've found something here. Most fans will probably laugh at us, Chris. They'll be going, "Oh, who are these two comparing Birmingham to Liverpool?" But in a certain way, this is what's going on at the minute, and we know the difference in the teams. But there is a truth to that. We're seeing an upturn in form. Long may it continue. Obviously, look, we'll take anything at the minute. Let's not forget we had to endure 6-game winless run. So I think we can enjoy this 4-game unbeaten streak. Let's quickly get to the drama at the end. Then I know Middlesbrough run on the pitch. It was Woodgate. Said it was handbags, but Birmingham said that Middlesbrough need to respect the game a little bit more. It was a bit of a storm in a teacup, but from you, the fan, what did you make of it?
Personally, if the referee would have stopped play before we got to the halfway line, then I could perfectly understand it, because with the new head injury protocols that have come into play, yeah. if there's any risk to the guy who's ran into Bellingham, and he has run into Bellingham, it's not a foul for me, but there is a potential head injury there, the way he's run into Bellingham's shoulder. So if the referee would have stopped it before we got to the halfway line, then I wouldn't have had a problem with it. The problem he's caused himself is letting it go so far. And I think the drop ball in the end was given where the cross was put in. So that's where he says he's blown the whistle to stop play, which is too late for me. You have let it go too far, and we are that close to scoring a goal. Obviously, the Middlesbrough bench have also made a problem for themselves by they've set a bit of a precedent by just running onto the pitch when they weren't asked to by the referee. Which is anybody allowed to do that nowadays? Whenever somebody's getting countered, does somebody just go down with a potential head injury and the physios run onto the pitch to stop the counter?
Yes.
That's the precedent they've set for themselves.
Absolutely. It's almost up and up another can of worms. I know Birmingham weren't happy. They wanted this meeting with the refs to talk about it because it was deemed play on until it got closer and Middlesbrough thought, oh no, now we want to really intervene by running on. Sort of an interesting one. And I know we all joke, and fans, we always fear the worst. Some Birmingham fans saying, oh, let's be careful this referees meeting because we could face a points deduction. But what have we learned from any outcome of any meeting?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, it seems like every time we get involved with the EFL, there's a threat of a points deduction for something. I think, there's that fear from Blues fans that they're just waiting to give us points deductions. But I think the officiating in general in the Championship has been a little bit ropey this season. There's been a lot of focus on VAR and how it's causing differences and potential issues in the Premier League. But you ask some fans in the Championship and leagues below that, and they'd love VAR in, because some of the decisions we get are absolute stinkers. And obviously the one on Tuesday night, I'm not sure if that would have been affected by VAR or not, but I think the refereeing has to improve for what's at stake in the Championship. Nearly 200 million now to get in the Premier League, and you're asking referees to really play a big part in team seasons.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Not more interesting, though, than the game on the weekend. It is Coventry. Coventry at home. It's at St Andrews. It's a wonderful fixture. You know, it can only ever happen in the FA Cup. How much of this one are you looking forward to, and what are you thinking of it, Chris?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. You know, it's a one in a lifetime unique experience that, you know, you'll be sitting in the away end at your own ground. You know, that hardly ever happens. You know, in a big game as well. Let's not beat around the bush. It's an FA Cup fourth round tie. Mm.
And Coventry are going well.
It's a local derby against a side in the division below. But as you say, they have got and they've had an excellent home record at St Andrews this season. I don't think they've lost since October.
That's what
at
makes
home.
It even weirder. Sorry, Chris, I'm butting in. But when I just read about it, and I've been watching Birmingham and watching Coventry, we're talking about they've got a good home record at your home. It makes it even more. It adds extra spice to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, both teams see it as, you know, they don't want to go away from their own place with a defeat, if you like, which probably absolutely guarantees a 1-1 draw, doesn't it, and a replay. But I think obviously both sides will, you know, Coventry will certainly go into it with confidence. I hope Blues will as well. Over the last few results, you know, the performance on Tuesday night against Middlesbrough was good, and I hope that gives them confidence. And like I said, it's the fourth round tie of an FA Cup. If you win this, all joking aside, you're two games away from Wembley semi-final. So I think, you know, both teams will be taking it seriously and wanting to progress.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right, though. We could be talking about next week a replay that will be played at St Andrews. Unbelievable. I don't think Coventry will get 50-50 split that time, the one that Birmingham have got this weekend. Obviously, Chris, I've got to ask for your prediction. What do you think it will be?
I think with a big following from Blues, I think there's 9,500 Blues fans there. So even though we're the away side, it'll feel like a home atmosphere. And I think in the end, we'll put out a strong side, and I think we'll win 3-1 in the end.
3-1. Well, that will make it five games unbeaten and a wonderful show that me, you and James, Chris, we can all have next week. But Chris, always a pleasure to be talking to you. I'm looking forward to that game so much on the weekend. It definitely is my pick. But please check out Chris Pugh from Birmingham Fan TV, as James Jenkinson. Check them both out. Check out Birmingham Fan TV. But more than that, get involved as you can always on the Birmingham Fan Show. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio. Call us 028 7020 558 for all your Blues views.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Lovesport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Lovesport Radio on Twitter.